guys, I'm not exaggerating. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. Like, it's right here. It's as clear as day. God wants you to know, if you know his love, you will be eternally undefeated. So who's gonna stand against you, honestly? Some aspect of culture, some boss at work, some politician, Satan himself? Like, do they have any chance of standing against you in terms of eternity? The answer is absolutely emphatically no.
Welcome again to Live in the Light. We begin our last message in Romans 8 today in the series Life is Too Short Not to Grow in Christ. I'm your host, Shannon Stark, and today we dive into a special message with Pastor Robbie about love, which is everyone's favorite characteristic of God. Robbie, what do you think?
It is. Well, Shannon, first of all, glad you're here. You know, it's been nice to have you as a host here, and I think you're doing such a great job so far, and so we're really encouraged by that. We're also very encouraged by our incredible Live in the Light listeners. As just a reminder, we love to hear from you. Send us an email. Go on our website, liveinthelight.ca. Again, give us a call, whatever it is. When we hear the way that God is working in our listeners, man, again, that just fires us up. Shannon mentioned love today. God's love in our passage. This is Romans 8. When I say love in Romans 8, you know what I'm talking about? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing, ever. If God is for us, who can be against us? This is one of the most famous and most powerful passages in the entire New Testament for a reason. Hey, are you discouraged today? Not for long. Are you feeling alone today? Not for long. Are you a little bit down today? Not for long, because the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for you. God is tracking you down. Why? To bless you, to love you, to pour his grace upon you. Specifically today from his text, he's going to do that for you right now. And that reality is awesome. The King of the universe hunting you down. What? To love you like crazy. Wow, what a blessing. That's why Living the Light is here, to let you be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ.
And maybe you are listening today and somebody's coming to mind that could hear about the unquestionable, unshakable, unsurpassed love of Jesus. Is somebody coming to your mind right now? You can go on our website or wherever you listen to Live in the Light and send them today's message. Tell them how much God loves them today. So let's go today in Romans 8. Open your Bibles and we will hear more and more and more about how much God loves you.
I just want to welcome you here and all those who are tracking with us in some form online as well. My name is Robbie Simons, one of the pastors here. And just again, we're so delighted to do this together. It's such a big deal. I'm going to ask you to grab a Bible if you're able to and turn to the book of Romans. And I'm just going to be going from Romans 8, verse 31. I'm going to start at verse 31, and then I'm just going to go until we're kind of done. We have no message here at Hope Bible Church apart from the Bible. And so if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. Lord willing, there should be one there. And if you need help to find where the book of Romans is, go to the table of contents. You can see it there in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, they're numbered there very clearly. Maybe one of your neighbors would help you out if you need to get there too. I would love personally for you to see what's in the Bible so you know where every aspect of this message I'm getting it from, because we believe God wrote a book and we believe this book has been changing lives ever since it was written by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, that's why the name Bible is in the name of our church. That's how strongly we believe about this. So again, Romans chapter 8 is where we will be. And just before we get there, I want you to imagine this Easter. I want you to imagine you are someone or you belong to a group of people that were, I mean, literally a group of people, or you were someone that was unconquerable, unquestionable, and unshakable. Like, I want you to imagine you were someone, you belong to a group of people that these were your characteristics. I mean, imagine the confidence you would have as you knew that you were unshakable and unconquerable. Imagine the assurance that you would walk around with knowing, man, I can't be shaken. But imagine it didn't stop there. Imagine not even that, but more than that, you were someone
who you knew forever would be undefeated. You could not be defeated based on your status, that you were uncontestable. People could not question your status. People could not contest who you were and your identity. Imagine you were a person that you knew you were unbreakable. Like, I want you to seriously ponder that this is who you were. Think of the peace that you would feel. Think of the power and the conviction that you would live and walk around with as well. But imagine there was more than that. You're just like, man, this. How could there be more than that? But imagine you were someone who was unwavering, unending, and you had been given unmatched eternal riches. I want you to imagine that you were that person or belonged to a group of people who claimed these truths. I mean, you're sitting here today in Easter and you're like, yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. I mean, if only, it sounds like some kind of, you know, superhero from some movie, maybe even better than some superhero from some movie. And you're like, I wish, Robbie. Well, here's the thing about today. Okay, you could sit there and wish, or you could believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and these things would become more than true for you. Because what I just described right there, we're gonna see in God's word today is the eternal reality for every single person who believes in Christ, listen, and knows and is living in the unsurpassed love of God that has enveloped their soul and absolutely changed their lives and will carry them all the way through into eternity. Now, I need you to listen right now. I'm not exaggerating what I just said. It's not just a clever, nice intro. I'm not embellishing. This is exactly the reality for those who belong to Jesus Christ by grace through faith and are filled with the unsurpassed love of God. This is unequivocally the truth of what God's word presents to us today as it pertains to God's love. You say, well, how do we know? I just said it. Because we have God's truth in God's word that tells us about God's love. Romans 8, verse 31. Now, a little bit of a warning mentioned right here. I need to warn you, you're about to be drenched and immersed with the love of God. So don't say, I didn't warn you, okay? And you better be further careful because it could very well change your life forever. So watch out as you open up God's word. Romans 8, verse 31. Paul says this, the Apostle Paul wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God the Father, who did not spare his own son, Jesus Christ, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, Good Friday, more than that, who was raised, Easter Sunday, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So therefore, notice the conclusion then. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, Christians, believers, we are being killed all the day long, regarded as sheep to be slaughtered by the world around us. I added that in. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, super conquerors through him who loved us. Then he ends with this amazing couple verses. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able, listen, here's the whole point of today, will be able to separate us from the love of God, notice, in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to unpack today, so glad you're here, we're going to unpack today the unsurpassed love of God this Easter. Let's get started again. I have no message apart from what's in front of us right here, so I just wanna point out to you what is here. If we have the love of God, that means number one is this, we are eternally undefeated. If the love of God lives within us and we are saved by Jesus Christ, this means we are eternally undefeated. Where do you get that, Robbie? Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? So Paul begins with, so what shall we say to these things? Now, when he says these things, what does he mean? What's he referring to? He's pointing to the truth that came before verse 31. You can easily argue Romans 1:1, Romans chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to Romans 8:30. He's saying it's the gospel. These things, the truth of the reality. If you are saved by Jesus, then you are eternally forgiven in Jesus. You are eternally secure in Jesus, and you will never, ever die. That is why Jesus came and died and rose again to save us from our sins, to give us everlasting life. He says, what shall we say to such truths? What shall we say to such things? And really directly, verse 30, look at verse 30 there, right? If you have been predestined, then you are called by God. If you are called by God, you are justified. You are declared innocent by God. If you are declared innocent, you will be glorified. You will go to heaven, you will live in perfection forever, okay? What Paul is saying here, if God has started something in you, you take this to the spiritual bank. If God has started something in you, he's gonna finish it. Like, no question whatsoever. If God starts anything legitimately in a person, he carries it on to completion. If you are saved, listen, if you are saved, you are secure. Like, there is no better way and there's no overstatement we can make to the reality. If you are alive in Jesus Christ, sins forgiven, you've been cleansed by his blood, you are his child, you will never ever die, you are absolutely secure. Nothing will ever diminish your future reality as one of God's children. Now, what is that? It's called hope. I just gave you a huge dose of hope again this Easter Sunday. That's why Easter is about hope. That's why our church is called Hope Bible Church. We are about seeing people have hope in the reality that is only found in Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus said in John 14, Jesus said, if I go, die, raise from the dead, ascend into heaven, if I go, I will come back and gather you and take you to where I am. He says, I prepare a place for you in heaven. Jesus has died. He has rose from the dead. He has ascended into heaven. And one day soon, any day now, he's returning to gather those who are his, to take us back with him to the place that he has prepared. That is hope. That is the gospel. That is our reality. These are these things that Paul's referring to in verse 31. So he then says, what shall we say to such things, such truth? What a great question, right? That's our reality in Christ. That's our security, our hope, our future. So what shall we say to such truths? Look at verse 31. The answer is given. See that there? If God is for us, if God is for us. Now hear that literally, if God is on your behalf, if God is on your side, now how would God be on my side? It's the gospel. I believe in his son, Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. And the Bible tells us at that moment, I'm adopted into the family of God. I literally become a child adopted into his family forever. I will never be cast out. I will never be forgotten. I will never be rejected. I am in the family of God, secure forever. God now works on my behalf. I am one of his children. He's a perfect father. If God is for us, I want you to see the crucial word in the phrase that I just said. Can you see the crucial word in verse 31 there? Take a look at verse 31. There's a very, very crucial, very small word, two letters, very crucial to everything. Notice it's the word if. That's a condition, right? So if God is for us, meaning he will be for some, but that doesn't apply to others. What's the difference? So the word if then becomes both a requirement and a guarantee. If God is for us, the requirement is I am a sinner. I sin every day. No sin gets to heaven. I need to be reconciled to God. I can't make it over the valley, over the chasm of sin. I need a savior to forgive me, to cleanse me, that I may be reconciled back to God. If God is for me, meaning I've been reconciled through faith, by the way, this is so important every Easter. Many people walk in here and they think and they've been taught and they think the Bible actually teaches, if I'm a good person, I go to heaven. and. That's not in the Bible. That is not true, okay? No one's good enough. I'm not good enough. I sin every day. You have to understand this. Nowhere in God's holy word does it say, if you're good enough, well, I'm better than my neighbor. No. We're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, we fall short. But some of you have thought your whole life, look around, I'm not that bad. We'll get to that in a few minutes too, right? But we are that bad. But again, even if we were better than others, it will never be good enough. We must be forgiven. You are not saved by what you do. You are saved by who you believe in. It's believing in the one who is perfect, Jesus Christ. Only he is the one who could die for our sins because only he was the perfect sacrifice. If God is for us, requirement to be reconciled, here's the guarantee. If this is true in my life, then the guarantee is if God is for me, then I know that God then is on my side. If God is on your team, think about that. If God is on your team, I like your chances. Fair? Right? Because so the God of the Bible, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at all times. He is absolutely awesome. There's no one that comes even close to him. So I love sports, right? Play sports. So I'm sitting there and if I realize God is on my team, I'm like, this is gonna go okay. Like this is gonna be some hard things along the way. There'll be some times of, suffering and weariness and fatigue, and there'll be ups and downs. But at the end of the day, man, if God is on my team, I really do like the odds that are in my favor, right? So question, we stop here right now. All we're right now. Is God for you? Is God, I want you to honestly search your heart right now. Like you've walked in here today, whatever it is. Do you know for sure, not based on what you've done, not based on who you are, but based on faith in Jesus Christ, do you know that God is for you? Because when the Bible says, if God is for us, naturally then, the other part of that verse is, then who can be against us? So I remember in grade school, there was the times when there was two captains and you'd all stand against the wall and there's two captains and they start choosing people for their team, right? And they, I want you to my team and your team, and you get chosen, you kind of walk out and you stand on your team, you look there and you look at it and you're kind of sizing it. How come they got that person? How come they got, whatever? And you're sitting there, well, this is what's saying here. God is one of the captains and you're standing up against the wall of life and God's like, you're on my team. And you're like, me? And you're looking around like this, and God, you want me on your team? Like you're choosing me? And let me see. And you start walking over towards your captain and you're in awe. You're just like, he's awesome. Like you start going over to your team and you kind of sit beside God and you're just like, man, this is pretty amazing. And you start to size up the other team and you're like, yeah, I really do think we're gonna do okay. Like I think we're probably number one seed. And you find out your captain has never lost ever. You find out he's the creator of the universe. You find out he's the God of glory. You find he's perfect in wisdom. You find there's nothing he cannot do. You find out that he is the Lord Almighty. And I'm on his team. Just like, yeah, let's go, right? Because that's what's happening. If God is for you, and he's your captain, and you are on his team again, I think the confidence level starts to go up just a little bit. In fact, at the end of the day, if God's on your team, you look at the opponents and you're like, it's not even gonna be very close. No, we're gonna blow them out. Like there's gonna be some complaining and people longing for participant ribbons, but it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. We're gonna crush them. So, on this note, I looked up the greatest blowouts in sports history. And this was at the top of the list, okay? I've never seen this before, but this was number one. I was, I like sports, I'm interested. So the number one blowout in sports history apparently happened in 1916. It was a football game. And the Georgia Tech engineers, never heard of them. Cumberland College Bulldog, never heard of them. But apparently Georgia Tech headed in for the Bulldogs. This was before fair play. This was before max score. This was before, let's do it. These guys just annihilated them, okay? 222-0. I'm a football guy, so in the bottom here, I love this. Some of this will make sense, but the Bulldogs had 90 minus 6 rushing yards. So that means they went backwards every time. They went backwards the whole game. And the other team did not throw the ball once, but ran, and they gained 1,600 yards. That is astronomical if you know anything about sports. This was just, they headed in for them, the biggest blow in sports history. So when we look at this, we're like, wow, that was an annihilation. I'm telling you, it was a beatdown. I'm telling you. The reality of the victory that will be found in Jesus Christ when he returns in his glory. And, you know, like for believers here on earth, well, we're promised this side of heaven. We're promised to struggle. We're promised to suffer. We're promised weariness. We're promised fatigue. We're promised opposition. We're promised the battle. But one day soon, Jesus Christ is going to return. And when he returns, you're going to be there in all your struggle and suffering, weakness. You're going to look up and see him riding in the clouds of glory. And you're going to be like, yeah, we're good. We're good. I'm with him. He's my savior. We're good. That's going to happen. Because if God is for you, then who can be against you? And I want you to think about this in this reality. Again, guys, I'm not exaggerating. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. Like, it's right here. It's as clear as day. God wants you to know, if you know his love, you will be eternally undefeated. So who's going to stand against you? Honestly, some aspect of culture, some boss at work, some politician, Satan himself. Like, do they have any chance of standing against you in terms of eternity? The answer is absolutely emphatically no. They will be annihilated, infinity to zero. And you will be reigning with Jesus Christ forever. And this is for those who choose to receive the love of God found in his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the point of Easter. He died for our sins and defeated death that we might live forever. It's a really, really good deal. I highly recommend it. Like, it's just when you really look at this and say, what is the downside, is that you stop becoming God and you admit that he is, and you admit your sin and trust in him for your salvation. And then you have hope, and he's like Nathan's testimony. It's supernatural. It is awesome. It is God's love. Secondly, if we have God's love upon us, this means we receive unparalleled generosity. Unparalleled generosity. Look at verse 32 now. So the encouragement just continues. He, God, who did not spare his own son, Jesus, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? It just gets better. Here's the point. If God has given his son, Jesus, to die for the church, to die for sinners like you and me, will he not also give us the smaller things? And again, it's a rhetorical question. Yes, of course, of course. Think of what Easter tells us about our God. So many people, they have these false concepts, false teaching about God. They mock him, they ridicule him, they insult him, whatever. They don't even know. Easter tells us about God. He is not a stingy, penny-pinching, distant God. He is an infinitely generous, infinitely gracious, infinitely loving God that sent his son in love to die for you and me. Octavius Winslow, he put it this way in terms of Easter weekend. Who delivered up Jesus to die? Not Judas for money. Not Pilate for fear. Not the Jews out of envy. All those things were listed in the Gospels. The ultimate reason that Christmas happened that led to Easter is the Father did it for love. The Father did it for love. This is why Easter happened. Again, it's the grace of God. Where there's love, there's grace. By the way, what is grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Grace is the gift. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace, again, the love of God results in the grace of God, which we cannot earn ourselves. And what love is this? The text says, he did not spare his own son. Now think of parents in our day, okay? Think of parents. These are all terms. I'm gonna say terms. They're all legitimate terms in the last, like, even 5 years, maybe 5 to 10 years. Helicopter parents, bubble wrap parents, Velcro parents, and I learned this one recently, snowplow parents, removing any obstacle of any kind in the way of their children. We seek to spare our children from every conceivable pain, hurt, offense, and injustice. Like, whatever it takes to make sure our kids have no experience, which in the end, by the way, wisdom understands if you protect your kids from everything, it's not gonna help them in the end at all. They have to learn about life, and that's another sermon for another day. Anyways, but here's God the Father, okay? Here's God the Father. Out of incomprehensible love for us, the text says, he did not spare his own son, who was God himself. So God the Father sent God the Son to die for the sins of you and me. Why would he do that? Why would he do such a thing? One of the most famous verses in the Bible, maybe you're super new to the church and new to Christianity, you even might know this verse, John 3:16. Here's why. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And tell you, it is the single greatest act of generosity we could ever fathom. The selflessness of the Father, the humility and sacrifice of the Son, the generosity of the Trinity. It is just incredible. It is astounding. The text says, but he gave him up for us all. Some of you are like, why did Jesus? How come we can't save ourselves, right? Here's why, on the screen for you. This is why the cross had to happen. Because of our sin, we can't make ourselves right with God. We can't. So Jesus, because we deserve death, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3 says. We deserve death. We needed a perfect sacrifice in our place because you and I can't save ourselves. We're not perfect. Jesus is. So Jesus came to live without sin. He became our sacrifice. We deserve death. Jesus went in our place. We deserve God's wrath because of our punishment. God is holy. Sin must be dealt with. Jesus came to bear the wrath of God on our behalf on the cross. So the first time ever, he doesn't say, my Father. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? A symbol, a meaning, understanding. The Father, as we sing, the Father turns his face away. The whole world became dark as the Father looked away and the wrath of God fell upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We deserved that Jesus had to come to take it for us because we could not. We were separated from God because of our sin. Jesus had to come to die on the cross that we have a way back to God, which we could never jump over ourselves. He, only Jesus, reconciles us back to God. We were in bondage to sin. Sin enslaves us to ourselves, to death, to Satan. Jesus alone could pay the ransom, redeeming us out of slavery and restoring us back to the Lord. This is why Easter weekend had to happen. Again, what's the motivation of God? Why did you do this? For God so loved. He loved you so much. He loved me so much that he gave his son to be these things, that whoever believes in him will never die, but have everlasting life. You know, some of you right now too, you might say, okay, so Jesus came to die for sinners. And you'll be like, if you're honest right now, you're like, well, Robbie, I don't really think I'm that bad a person, okay? Like, I just try to be good. I try to do things I need to do, whatever. And I see people around me, I watch the news, there's some sinners, but me, I honestly don't think I'm that bad. Here's what you have to ask yourselves. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever looked lustfully at another person? Because Jesus says that's adultery. Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever loved something more than God himself? Have you ever not loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you ever felt jealousy? Have you ever wished ill upon someone else? Have you ever been filled with hatred? Have you ever judged someone for a position they have that you don't? Have you ever felt again bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment? Have you ever made a decision based on your wants and not someone else's? Have you ever again lived a life or a day where you haven't sinned in one way or another in these ways?
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. Yeah.